Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Kevin's on board. Say hi, Kev.
Hi.
All right. That should do it for him for a while. All right.
Great.
But just under, obviously obligation to your legion of fans out there to make sure that they know you're still here.
Do I have X amount of words minimum in my contract? Is that what you're telling me?
You may be over right now.
Oh, I got to renegotiate. That's it. I'm holding out.
On behalf of Roger and Sarah, really? All right.
Work for Mike Wallace. Or so he thinks.
Yeah, it's not a multi-year deal yet. All right. StateCollege.com. We're going to have some of the reporters on every Wednesday on the show, including today. We bring in Nate Mink, the junior partner, and Ron Musselman, who is the lead for StateCollege.com. Guys, welcome. And, Nate, you've been covering the team. What's the impression you're getting this week? I mean, that's finally game week.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the narrative that the press has pushed on this team this week, is finally getting to Saturday and getting back on the field. And to be honest, I just think they're ready to play. Forget all the emotion that can be wrapped up in this game. I mean, that'll be over once the ball is kicked off and once they start getting into the flow of the game. Talking to a lot of guys this week, they're just anxious to get out and hit an opponent other than themselves that they've been doing in training camp for the last 2-3 weeks. So,
does this quickly, Ron, become normal again? Because of, I mean, we know there's stuff that they have to face down the road, but I mean, in terms of now playing a game, getting ready for a next game, covering a next game, does that part start to return, or does it still stay off course?
No, I think it becomes, I use the word normal in quotes, normal with, given what the last 9 months have brought. I think it'll be good to get them back on the field. I think they'll be ready to try to block out the distractions. I mean, this stuff's still going to be there for a while, but I think it will be quote unquote normal in the vernacular, the way we're talking about it. I think it will be good. They will be happy to get out there and start playing football again.
What has struck you about all of this? I mean, you have covered everything in your career. What has struck you about this?
That I'll never cover anything like this again, and I hope not. I mean, it's been, if Joe Paterno retired, it's a major story. If you just go down the line, there's a Jerry Sandusky investigation, major story you're writing about for a long time. We've had like 10 things happen. It's one nonstop. It's like a snowball just rolling downhill. And you think it's going to catch you. You know what I mean? And every time you think, well, boy, maybe we can breathe easy for a little bit, something else pops up. And, we still have the Schultz Curley thing coming up, the trial. There's lawsuits. This is going to draw long time, but it's been a long 9 months just for football, but for covering football, covering news around here. It's been 9 months I've never experienced, and I hope I never experience again.
We know how Bill O'Brien has handled all of this. Nate, when you have talked with the players, what are your impressions as to how they have handled everything? Because they're being asked questions they never thought in their lifetime they would be asked.
Yeah, and they're getting asked questions that, fairly or not, maybe they shouldn't even be getting. But they've handled it as well as O'Brien's had. I mean, they've really, addressed every situation as openly and honestly as possible. They've touched on the Paterno issue and, what their thoughts on his legacy is. They haven't danced around anything. But the message, and for the first time in a long time with this university, it seems to be unified from all different factions of the university, from Old Main to the athletic department to the football program and the Latch building, is that it's moving forward. And that is really what I took away from, sure, there's initial disappointment on July 23rd when sanctions are handed down. They're dealt with the cards they were dealt. Now it's time to execute the plan in navigating these murky waters over the next 4 years. And, that starts Saturday with football.
I know I've maintained over the years, and Brian knows I've talked about this, that I've always felt that sports people should cover sports and newspaper should cover news.
I agree. As somebody who's done both, I agree.
But this is a crossover.
It is.
And when you hear news people try to cover the story, they botch it. Sports people struggle with the news angle of it. How tough has it been for everyone on the staff to really combine hats and try to be part news, part sports?
Well, I mean, Nate and Laura Nichols do most of our news stuff. And Nate does football, obviously, but he crosses over. I mean, I worked at the Post-Gazette. I was doing both. It's a difficult transition. I mean, I don't understand all the, per se, lawyer terms, you know, and had a lot of help, you know, but it is a tough thing, but you have to do it because there are a lot of people. I mean, there aren't many people on this beat who have covered both. You know, I mean, guys who covered football, you know, and then there's guys who, you know, it's been a real grind. There's only a few of us have done it. It's been a real grind for 9 months. It's nonstop. For a while there, it was like, you know, you couldn't breathe. But you know what? It's the way it is, and there's no sense complaining about it. And life goes on. And you know, like I say, I think it will be a fresh start. I mean, Joe Paterno did a lot of great things for this university. You know, I mean, there's been a terrible, you know, terrible fallout from this Free report regarding that, regarding Paterno, regarding how people look at things differently. But I think for a lot of these kids, having Bill O'Brien as their coach is a fresh start.
Yeah.
I really believe that because Bill O'Brien texts them, gets back to them, does more communicative, more out there. I mean, it had gotten to the point in the Paterno regime where I think people are just, I mean, it had been going on for so long and had the same routine for so long. I think people are embracing this fresh start in a new, you know, weight program. It's not to say anything bad about the other program, but I think anytime you have a change, it makes kids feel better.
Look, you have to go about your business in your own way because that's the way you believe. Right. For you, it works. There's nothing against what anybody else did because it worked for them. Now you're doing it, but you have to feel comfortable doing it your own way. You've had to do the crossover work between the two, courtrooms and sports. So I want to get your perspective. What has that been like, changing hats from time to time?
Yeah, you know, it gives you a much more broader picture of everything that's gone on. You know, the sports side of things, people right now in the Latch building and on specifically the football beat want to bunker down and really focus on how this whole mess pertains to the football program. And that's fine, but what the last 9 months has hopefully shown everyone is that this is a lot more than just football. And, you know, sitting in that courtroom for the 2 week trial, you know, reading page by page of the Free report, you know, that takes a lot of time and it's tedious and it's not easy to read and it's not easy to listen to. But it ultimately just gives you a much more fuller picture of everything that's transpired on here, on this campus in the last, you know, 9 months. And that's really important, you know, from a reporter's perspective, because it gives you context to a lot of things. You're not short-sighted. You're not looking only at something through one lens. You see it through different people's perspectives, and that's really important.
Ron, you've done this a long time. You and I go back 30 years. You just look better than I do.
But I don't know about that.
But the Patriot News announced that they're going to go print 3 days a week, I believe, beginning in January, which means they're going to rely heavily on PennLive.com. Of course, you've made the transition now to StayCollege.com. Your thoughts on that decision and then what the future actually is, because obviously I think I know how you think the future is going to go based on the decision you made.
Yeah, that's the reason I got out, I mean, 6 months ago, well, back in February, because newspapers they can't keep up with the news. I mean, they can't print it fast enough. It's, by the time it comes out, it's 24 hours old. And the Patriot News, that's a big blow. That's a big blow for people. I feel bad because I have so many friends, and 30 years in newspaper, I have a lot of friends. So I'm not going to look down on them. I mean, it's a tough business. Can't keep up. I think the Patriot News will become a shell of itself. I really do. I know they're saying they're going online, and they're saying that, you know, they're saying all the right things, but I don't believe half of it because they're saying that they're not going to charge, but they're not going to lay that many people off. Well, if you're not bringing in money, how are you going to keep all these people? So that makes no sense. you know, they just won a Pulitzer, and they're not going to be printing that much. And I saw the same thing happening when I was covering Michigan and Ohio State. The Ann Arbor paper was owned by the same chain. They folded the paper, went online only. So I think the only big paper in that chain that hasn't been affected is the Cleveland Plain Dealer. And I, if I worked at Cleveland, I'd be nervous because I think they're setting this trend. It's going to happen a lot of places. I think a lot of papers are going to have to do this. I've heard about, you know, I've seen it for years. Newspapers just can't keep up, and you don't need nearly as many people to do the web as you do. And the problem is newspapers can't make money. That's the problem.
In fact, we've gone from having multi-paper towns. In fact, you kind of raised your eyebrow if, well, gee, what kind of town is that? There's only one paper in town. That's the way it used to be.
There's not many left. I mean, Pittsburgh's now, one. There aren't many left. New York, I mean, Chicago, there aren't that many.
We've now gone from that to this decision because the Harrisburg Patriot News is a major newspaper in the state.
Covering Penn State, sure. Yeah. I mean, it is. And you know,
but it's also the state capital newspaper.
Absolutely, it's a big blow to journalism. There's no doubt. But I think you're going to see more of this. I mean, I've seen this coming for a while. A lot of people are in denial, but I mean, that's what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, you saw it happen in New Orleans. You know, just a few short weeks ago.
Owned by the same chain, and you saw it happen in Alabama. Same thing. Ann Arbor News, same chain.
I think one benefit of going to a three-paper model per week is that it does, you know, allow you to focus in on storytelling a lot more. And, you know, the news side of things, the breaking news aspect, you know, there's no doubt that's going to be digital first. You know, you're getting that on your iPad and your iPhone and everything else. But, you know, the print aspect now can be a much more narrative form, long takeout, analysis. You know, people... You know, items that people want to read, and you know, it's obviously going to be, you know, the timeliness factor and all that is going to hurt because you're coming out maybe every other day or three times a week, but you know, it does, you know, allow for, I think, a more alternative story.
The Detroit papers did this too, went to 3 days a week. Now they've switched back. The problem with the 3 day a week is nobody can get used to getting the paper. Okay, and you need about 1/16 of the amount of people to produce the news he's due for a newspaper. So that's the problem. And he can't make any money.
Coming up a few. All right. Ron Musselman and Nate Minks, statecollege.com. They will join us, by the way, every Wednesday. Today's show, coming from the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio where they were earlier today. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and Let It Be Solar Hotline is open. 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Let It Be Solar. Go to letitbesolar.com. We'll come back on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
The car company that helped build America is once again America's number one brand.
Announcing the Labor Day sales event
at Sunbury Motors with great deals for hardworking people like you. From now through September 1st, get a brand new Ford with no money down, no interest for 5 years, no payments for 3 months, plus up to $2,000 Labor Day bonus cash on a Ford Escape, Focus, Fiesta, Edge, Fusion, Flex, or Mustang, and $3,500 on built-tough Ford trucks, F-150 and Super Duty. During this limited time offer, everything is on sale. So get into a brand new Ford now with no money down, no interest for 5 years, no payments for 3 months, plus up to $3,500 bonus cash. For complete qualifications and details, call 1-800-358-8090 or go to sunburymotors.com. The Labor Day sales event ends Saturday, September 1st, so hurry into SMC today. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley since 1915.
Well, get everybody up to date. Denny McClain, Ron Musselman, Nate Mick. We thank them for being on the show today. And now, under contractual obligation, we bring back Kevin Herr.
I'm happy to do so. Happy to come back here.
So let's get to the tabloid portion of the show.
I not a whole lot of tabloid stuff today. You know, we had the referee discussion. We had the NFL referee discussion. You talked about the Notre Dame analyst talking about it's good to have a couple of criminals on your team. And we talked about the Philly scratch and Hamels because of an illness. That's pretty much it. It's a very slow day.
Slow day.
It's a slow day.
Well, I'm sorry it's a slow day. We don't mean to disappoint you this way.
Well, just, like I said, just not much going on right now. We're just about ready to start off college football, so everything's kind of quiet there. You got a little end of baseball. Things are,
yeah.
If you're a Phillies fan, things are really quiet there.
Well, they had a chance to get within 8.5 of the wild card.
That's scary right there, all by itself.
And didn't. I mean, that's, they had that chance, kind of blew it last night.
I'd really like to see the Pirates get into the wild card.
They're not going to make it.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Happy.
Well, no, I'm not. I mean, I want them to make
can't
it.
Can't you have any optimism at all? I mean,
I
really?
I always have optimism.
They're not
I always
make
have
it.
Optimism. But they're just not going to make it. They're just not good enough.
I think they can get one of the extra wild card spots.
No, I don't. St. Louis and the Dodgers are both better. I mean, that's the problem.
I see San Francisco winning the West. I think they can actually. I think they can actually take St. Louis. I think Pittsburgh could actually get over top of St. Louis. The Dodgers, I think, are a better team. I agree with you there, but I think Pittsburgh can actually overtake St. Louis.
I don't.
All right, then.
St. Louis is better. They're just better. I said this 3 weeks ago. I'm not going to change my mind now. I'm not going to change my mind now that because they haven't done anything to get my mind changed. And yeah, they won 9-0 last night.
Last night's 9-0 5-hit game wasn't enough to at least show that they have some offense there. I know it's one game. I know it's one game.
Yeah, but they've been losing they got swept by San Diego. You don't get swept by San Diego this time of the year.
Well, that was bad. You're right.
But I'll say this about Los Angeles. Okay, the Dodgers, they made all these moves. They're not moving. I mean, you can get all caught up in Adrian Gonzalez hitting a home run in his first at-bat. What have they all done since?
Well, they scored sixth against Colorado today.
Yeah, well, they've lost three in a row.
That's also
they better
true.
Score six in the sixth.
That's also
okay?
true.
Beckett got slapped around silly the other night. I think it was last night. And right now, the Pirates are two games behind St. Louis in the standings. So they won last night to get back within two.
Now, let's see. Top of the fifth, Dodgers lead at 6-0 in Colorado. Top of the third, Cincinnati trailing Arizona 1-0. And in the Bronx, it is 6-5, top of the ninth, Toronto leading the Yankees and at bat.
Well, again, that's the issue. The Pirates are actually closer to being in fourth in the wild card race than they are to being in the number two spot. And the
well,
Orioles...
yeah, that's true. I mean, that's also true. Well, no, I mean, from a numbers standpoint, yes, because the Dodgers, St. Louis, and Pittsburgh are all, right there within each other.
I mean, they're all right there. Oakland, Baltimore lead the American League wild card. Tampa Bay, after being on a real roll, has lost four in a row. They're a game and a half back. Detroit's two back.
In the wild card, right.
In the wild card. That's all that matters now.
Right,
division,
right.
Division stuff is gone.
Well, but... Well, I guess five games, though, doesn't seem like an awful lot. It, of course, when you lose four in a row, it doesn't really help your situation, but.
Minnesota's 19.5 out of the wild card. I don't think they're going to make it.
No, I feel comfortable saying they're a little short.
Houston's 31 out of the wild card.
But they're 38 out of the division lead.
See, wild card's much better. All right.
The Cubs are 28 and a half out of the division lead.
But, you know, I look at the Pirates. They just released Eric Bedard. What took so long? tonight they have Wandy Rodriguez. I'm sorry, Saul's nothing.
I thought that they would try and make some more moves before the trade deadline to, you know,
Kevin,
solidify themselves.
Kevin, you can't make moves unless people are out of the race. Can't do it. The Dodgers made a move because the Red Sox are out of it. The Phillies and Dodgers made moves because the Phillies are out of it.
Well, see, I thought they'd reach across the state to the Phillies and try, because I think there were some opportunities there that were missed.
Maybe Shane Victorino.
That's the one I was thinking of, yes.
That probably would have helped them. I mean, you know, look. The Dodgers got Adrian Gonzalez, and the Pirates got Gabby Sanchez. I think it worked out well.
Pirates are ranked 18th in the majors in runs for.
The Pirates are 28th in the majors in on-base percentage.
Beat my stat.
Alvarez homered twice last night. They need more of that. Final half hour coming up.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, we start out this segment with this date in sports history. 1885, the first prize fight under the Marcus of Queensbury rules was held in Cincinnati. John L. Sullivan beat Dominic McCaffrey in six rounds. He had a couple hundred-rounders in his career. I'm sure that felt good. In 1892, Pop Billy Shriver of the Cubs caught a ball that was dropped from the top of the Washington Monument in D.C. 1971, Hank Aaron became the first baseball player in the National League to hit 100 or more, knock in 100 or more runs in a year in 11 consecutive years. Lou Brock, 77, brought his stolen base total to 893, surpassing the record of Ty Cobb that was held for 49 years. 1994, Mario Lemieux announced that he would be taking a medical leave of absence due to fatigue and after effect of his 1993 radiation treatments. He would sit out the National Hockey League season in 94-95. And in 1995, at the O.J. Simpson trial, tapes of Mark Furman were played. The recordings were of Furman making racial comments. That is this date in sports history. Insert sponsor here. All right. So, there's nothing on the tabloid stuff from you today. I mean, normally this is where you excel. Tabloid stuff. You are the TMZ of local radio.
No, I just need a running back right now. So,
you're struggling, huh?
I'm struggling. I need a running back. How much playing time is Royster okay in Washington? Give me the inside scoop.
I have no idea. Don't look at me.
All right, great. Thanks a lot. You're a big help. So much for the fantasy portion of the program.
Your life is a fantasy. All right. Let's.
Yes, it has been.
Okay. Yeah.
Sometimes a bad nightmare of a fantasy.
Look, I just haven't had a chance to watch too much or read too much NFL for obvious reasons. I mean, I did a lot of traveling around the state. Speaking engagements, practices, the situation going on here. I've tried to spread out as much as I can along the way. Checking out Evan Royster's numbers to help you in fantasy football did not make the cut.
Well, I mean, come on. You have your whole season planned out. Basketball's already scouted. You're done with that. You've got plenty of free time now.
And how today not so far.
You what?
I was up at 5:30. Uh-huh. I said I was up at 5:30.
Right.
I was recording commercials and also recording the rest of the Inside Penn State Athletics shows for the week this morning. I then went and recorded a TV show, and I was in a meeting at 9. We started recording the show about maybe quarter after 10, finished at 11:30, drove from there to the stadium, got to the stadium at quarter of 12, and was on at 11:50 with Dave Joyner. I was then on at 12:05 with Mike Motti and Michael Zordich. I was on at 12:20 with Bill O'Brien. From there, I drove, and I had to take care of another obligation from 1 to 3. Now I'm doing this show. After this show, I will go to football practice. After I'm done with football practice, I will then broadcast the Spikes game tonight.
So what's your point?
I don't know what Evan Royster's deal is. I have no idea.
All right.
Yeah, if you want, I can text him for you.
That would be great. Say, hey, how you feeling? Does it look like you're going to get a lot of carries? I have a friend that would like to draft you, but wants to make sure that you're... How do you feel about that? Are you ready to be drafted?
Remember, this is the same organization that just signed Billy Cundiff and thought he was the solution. Barty around? Is Barty there?
Somewhere.
I would like to get her response to that.
All right, hang on. I just used the paging system to get her. It's called yelling across the hall.
Well done. Nice job. Nice job. Yeah, I know the layout of the building now. I'm in pretty good shape there.
That's right. Now, all right, what do you want to know?
The Redskins just signed Billy Cundiff. They say he's the solution. As a Ravens fan, is Billy Cundiff the solution?
He is absolutely not the solution.
She's just happy he's down 95 and not north on 95.
So he's lucky that we play the Redskins at the Redskins. So he's lucky that he does not have to come back to M&T Bank Stadium.
So in other words, you personally drove him to Redskins Park yourself.
I did.
You know, this was Sarah Bartley, Good Samaritan. Here, allow me to drive you. Really? Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
I'll be happy
to Redskins
too.
Park. You'll be happy too. Why
no,
that?
No. That was Sarah. I'll be happy to drive you there.
Of course.
You know, I have to admit.
You're a Steeler fan. You have to be upset that the Ravens have a legitimate kicker. Now.
Well, that's debatable. I thought they had a legitimate kicker until he missed the one that cost them everything in the world. Listen, here's the thing. Being a Steeler fan, it was nice to know that you could have been beaten a couple of times by the team that actually made the Super Bowl or won the AFC Championship. So it would have been nice to be able to say that. As much as I really dislike the Ravens because I'm a Steeler fan, I also didn't have it in my heart, though, to send a text to Sarah after that field goal was missed and the touchdown was dropped. As we were sending texts back and forth through the game, I did not have the heart to send her a text after that one. I actually felt the need to console her after both those things.
Now, first of all,
I was cheering as it was happening, but I did not let her know that in the text.
First of all, for years, the New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys have been in the same division.
Yes, they have.
Okay. Right. This goes all the way back to even when it was the NFL Coastal Division. Okay. I can tell you in no uncertain terms, not one time as a New York Giants fan have I ever been happy the Cowboys succeeded at anything.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, don't tell me you have not been upset or that you have not been rooting against the Cowboys at some portions of the year.
Stinking game.
That's better.
Okay. Yankees, every game.
But okay. Sarah's my friend, and I felt some sympathy there.
Yes, but you made a statement, gee, you know, they won. Well, at least they beat we were beaten by the team. Are you nuts?
I was trying to find sort of consolation prize after losing in overtime to Denver when the new playoff rule for overtime was in our favor. We still give up a touchdown to do it. I was trying to console myself.
Sorry, but not going to happen. Look.
We got Tebowed.
Look, no kidding. It's only a legitimate pass he threw all year. He killed you. All right. Now, look, you can't sit there. If you're going to be a Steeler fan, okay, did Sarah feel good when the Steelers advanced to the Super Bowl against Green Bay?
Well, she didn't say anything about it. So I don't know. I mean, she could have been very content with that.
So
no, she runs in shaking her. Wait, she just ran in the studio shaking her head no.
So I thought so. Can't feel good about it. She probably rooted for Green Bay.
Rooted for Green Bay. She was wearing green and yellow all week.
Good. You can't root for your rival.
Well, I was trying a little bit because I'm trying to console myself, and I was trying to, you know, pull for my
console
friend.
Console yourself.
I was pulling for my friend's team, and then I realized, oh wait, it's the Ravens. I really don't want to see them win. But when they ended up losing and losing in such a horrible way, I was really conflicted because it was very entertaining to watch them lose it that way. Yet I felt bad for Sarah because I could hear her heart breaking.
Mm. Really? You didn't take delight in that?
That's what I'm saying. I didn't. I took delight in the fact that they lost in such a painfully embarrassing way.
Like Luis Gonzalez dropped in that hit that barely cleared the infield in the seventh game of the World Series in 2000 to beat the Yankees. I'm high-fiving everybody in the room. Come on.
Remember several years ago when the Steelers finally made the Super Bowl, beating the Colts with a pass that was dropped in the end zone on a Hail Mary?
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh, right. The current 49ers coach.
Right. That was when I fell to the floor crying that we finally made the Super Bowl again. That's how much...
You cried?
I was in joy. It was a joyful tear that I shed because we finally made the Super Bowl again.
You cried.
Listen, my teams don't typically do well.
I root for a team that went 86 years between World Series championships.
I didn't say mine was my teams were worse than yours. I said mine don't typically do well.
You have to be kidding me.
Yeah, but at least you have the Giants to fall back on every now and then.
Oh, believe me, they did nothing until the first 25 years of the Super Bowl thing. They did nothing, or the first 20 years. And ironically, when they finally made the Super Bowl, I think, this is great, right? I had a basketball game there at St. Bonaventure. I had to bus back doing the game up at the Riley Center. So I missed the first quarter and half of the game. my team finally makes it. I'm like, I can't watch it.
You know, the fan base that I feel the worst for is Tampa. Tampa Bay, not the baseball fans, but the football fans.
They've won a Super Bowl.
I know.
They've won a Stanley Cup.
No. I said the football fans.
Yeah?
It was like, wow, we finally got here. We finally won. Oh, wait. We've not really been close since.
Yeah, but they won.
Well, I mean, but when you go through the years that they did in the 70s in Tampa, I mean, sometimes you just deserve to win a Super Bowl. I felt that way with New Orleans. You know, after what that franchise and the fans went through over the years as being a fan of the Saints, you kind of deserve to get there and win it.
What about San Diego?
What about it?
They've never won.
Yeah, but they've had their opportunities.
They've been there once.
But they've had opportunities to get there.
They've been there once.
They've still had opportunities to get there. I mean, I can count on one hand
word,
how many times the Saints made the playoffs in the 80s.
Take my word, okay? 1967, I'm 9 years old. The Red Sox go to Game 7, lose the World Series, okay? I get to be 17 years old. They go to Game 7 of the World Series, lose on a run in the ninth inning, okay? 86, go to the World Series, okay? Get there, have a chance twice to win it. One has a bizarre 10th inning beyond words, and then they lose a couple nights later. Okay? Okay? Almost. Okay? Does not count.
Oh, well, don't start comparing that because you win one series in 80, then you wait short of forever to get back there again only to watch a home run win the series, and then you get back there once again when you're in your adult years.
Exactly.
I mean, there's been generations in Philadelphia that hasn't seen anything.
So Tampa Bay won a Super Bowl. San Diego hasn't. San Diego's last championship was 1963 when they beat the Boston Patriots 51-10 at Balboa Stadium. My good friend, very good friend, man who was my attorney for many years, the late Bob Meidinger, played on that team. He was buried wearing his AFL championship ring. In fact, it said it was AFL World Championships. It said AFL World Champions on it.
Wait, Sarah just said, now come here. You were saying Houston?
I think Houston, and I think Minnesota fans are having a rough time.
Yeah, I don't have it. No.
Minnesota's never won it.
Minnesota's never won it, but Houston.
Houston, Tennessee never won it.
No, see, I don't have a problem with Houston because they used to be in the same division as the Steelers, so, you know, I wasn't heartbroken about that.
Never won it.
I watched Earl Campbell run over guys left and right.
Yes, well, one of them is I work with.
Yes, you do. I'm sure he has some great Earl Campbell stories.
He told me that is the single toughest person he ever tried to tackle. Simple as that.
You've heard of the Mack truck. He was about three of them.
I mean, he said that's the toughest guy I ever tried to bring it out.
So how many teams have not won a Super Bowl? Is it three? Or is there still more than that?
Well, Arizona's never won.
Okay.
Texans have never won. Oilers, Titans have never won. Chargers have never won. Seahawks have never won.
I forgot about the Seahawks.
Jacksonville's never won. That's six.
Yeah, but that's too early. Jacksonville's too young.
Carolina's never won.
Carolina's too young. They don't count.
Carolina was in the Super Bowl.
It still doesn't count.
Yeah, it does.
They were too young.
Too young what?
You have to be in the league 20 years.
There's 17 years now they've been there.
Has it been that long, really? Seriously, yes. 17 years.
Okay.
I didn't think it was that long. Wow.
Okay. So those people have never won. Who else won? Anybody else? Browns. Browns have never won.
And that's fine.
No, I'm just saying, but they've never won.
I didn't think there was this many.
That's eight. Eight haven't won. Detroit Lions, nine.
Anybody
else? Buffalo Bills make 10.
Who was it that didn't? There was one team that hadn't made the playoffs. They were the only ones that hadn't been in a playoff game.
Houston.
I was thinking of then.
Right. Buffalo Bills haven't won. Okay, so now we're down to 22 teams, I guess, have, right? Eagles haven't won. That's 11. So the Eagles haven't won either.
And forgot about that one, too. Jeez, the list is much longer than I thought. Dave from Sunbury is on the line, has a thought for you. Go ahead, Dave.
What's Dave?
Hi, Dave.
Well, you running down the list, and that's the reason I called, was I'd already dialed the phone, and then you said Buffalo. I said, I started with you guys. And a wide right.
Started with wide right. Yeah, I mean, they won two AFL championships. They won the AFL championship in 64 and 65, but no NFL titles.
Yeah, with the senator at the QB.
Kemp.
Kemp, yeah.
Yeah.
Congressman Kemp. Had him in an airport once. He and I had a mutual friend, and we talked about him, so. Yep. Good guy.
Thanks for the call, Dave.
So okay, we'll come back with more.
There's a lot more than I thought. All right, well, that took all the fun out of that.
Falcons haven't won either.
Oh, come on. Now quit finding them.
You asked. I'm doing this off the top of my head.
I know. That's what's really disturbing.
It seems to bother you more than anything else when I do that.
Yes. I can barely remember what I had for dinner last night, and you can remember the left guard at Penn State in 1973 and who his girlfriend was in his sophomore year.
Sorry. Back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Final moments of the show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Our thanks, as always, to Sunbury Motors for sponsoring the studio. Sunbury Motors, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf for Sunbury Motors Kia. And Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Lenape Solar, always sponsoring the hotline at 1-800-795-9565. Always go to lenapesolar.com for more information. Our thanks to Denny McClain, baseball's last 30-game winner, for joining us today, and also to Ron Musselman and Nate Mink joining us from statecollege.com. There you go.
And in case you didn't hear, right-hander Vance Worley of the Phillies placed on the DL, expected to undergo season-ending surgery on his right elbow.
It's a shame. That's a shame.
I'm surprised he made it this far, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
He's been pitching with that chip for a long time.
Yep, at least it'll get taken care of now. And the NFL used replacement officials for week one of the season. Excitement reign should be tremendous.
Do you get an extra review with replacement officials?
No. It's unfortunate because the referees want to get back on the field, NFL RAA said in a statement. Our members have been engaged in extensive preparations and are ready to go. The NFL is serious about negotiating. We are ready, but we can't negotiate with ourselves. Colt safety Antoine Bethea says there's a solidarity with the officials. That'll be the last time.
When did that happen before?
The league is proposing having seven officials, one per position of referee, umpire, line judge, side judge, back judge, field judge, and head linesman, who would train, scout, and handle communication, safety issues, and rules interpretations year-round. Now all NFL game officials are part-time employees with outside jobs ranging from lawyer to teacher to business owner. In response, the NFL RA said it is not opposed to full-time officials if they are fairly compensated. The union also disputes the value of the league's current salary offer, which is said would not be the 5% to 11% NFL increase the NFL claims.
You got to understand one point of view they have. It's hard to get paid maybe a quarter of what the guys you're making sure do the right thing are getting paid. You look at it from that perspective.
Hey, I don't know what, you know, if they want to make a full, I think they should be full-time anyway, but that brings with it certain issues. But I think they should be full-time. I really don't need a stockbroker out there throwing a flag on fourth down.